know that there has had to have been some sacrifice, whether it's time or nutrition or whatever it is.
I'm recording myself talking about having a relationship with my chest.
I'm Ben Canning.
I'm Dave Kennedy.
And this is Hacking Health Podcast.
Yo, what's up, everybody? Welcome back to episode 149 of the Ben and Dave Show at Hacking Your Health. What's going on, dude?
What's up, everybody? Hey, welcome to this week's podcast. I think it's going to be a good one because we both, Ben and I, have had a terrible week for some reason. It's just been one of those.
We've got it out of our system before we hit record, so you may get it or you may not. Stand by.
Yeah, yeah. It's one of those weeks where it's just like nothing has gone right. And, you know, and it's just more so of me being overcommitted. You are just getting plastered with like negative news. It's just, you know, it's one of those weeks. So you're going to hear some banter, hopefully some humor. So it'll get us out of this funk that we have today. But it's been just one of those weeks. Like
It's been a week.
Well,
what I'll do, I'll start with a positive realization and a sort of circle of life moment that I had on Tuesday as a part of the shit shows that I've been dealing with. So some of you may or may not know, I'm trying to acquire a unit so that I can put a gym in it and I can have an office in it, a podcast studio and all other bits and pieces. It's been an ongoing process for longer than I would like to admit, and it is consuming my entire life. Got some negative news about it on Monday, and they were like, we'll post some stuff out, blah, 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 blah. I was like, fuck posting it out. I'll drive up because like it's going to be a week to post everything out and me send it back there. So I'll drive up. So phone Ali, and I was like, look, I'm going up to Cookstown here because that's where the solicitors is. Do you want to come with me? So that was cool. So I met him on Tuesday morning, and he was like, I'll meet you at Cityside Car Park. Now, I don't know if he's done this intentionally, but I'll give him the credit that he did anyway. So I'm sitting there first thing on Tuesday morning in Cityside Car Park, and that's where the gym is that I used to coach out of. So I've sat there, and I'm early, obviously, and he's late, obviously. And I'm looking up, and I'm like, fucking hell, I used to coach out of there. And then I sort of had this like reminiscent moment of like, I used to get up at 3:30 in the morning. I used to walk for an hour and a half to work to come and coach in that gym from like 6 a.m. to 8 or 9 p.m. every single day. And now I'm sat here and I'm about to drive to Cookstown to hopefully sign an agreement so that I can then have my own gym and my own facility. And it was a bit of a just recognition of how far things have come. And there's an additional piece of the puzzle that we sort of talked about on the way up. Many may or may not know the quote-unquote business that I ran before I was a coach was basically providing transport from Belfast to other nightclubs, and one of the main nightclubs actually was in Cookstown too, which was funny because you would think from the hundreds of times that I've been to Cookstown I would know how to get there, but 99 times out of 100 whenever I was on that bus I was intoxicated and not paying attention to the directions at all. So it was a lot of circle of life moments going on there, and a realization just about, well, yes, there are a lot of shit shows and people are coming at me with a lot of stuff. Number one, grateful for the position that I'm in. And number two, these are the problems that I once wished that I had. So it was a cool journey to do that with him on Tuesday. Number one, sober. And number two, just to sort of recognize the achievements and everything that sort of happened over the past. I think the first bus that I ran was in 2011. So whatever that is, 14 years.
Yeah.
An adventure. It has been an adventure, to say the least. So that was cool. That was a cool moment of this week. Yeah.
Yeah. And I did have some cool things happen this week as well. It hasn't all been, you know, terribly, you know, bad or whatever. So, you know, my wife got me this robot lawnmower for Father's Day.
Is it called Moses, or did you just name it Moses?
I just named it Moses.
Okay, yes. That's okay.
I was trying to find a name for it. Someone came online and was like, dude, you should call him Moses. I'm like, that's amazing. Yeah. So Moses is actually working right now as we speak. That guy never takes
place. Hardest worker in the room.
Moses is the hardest worker in the world right there. But this robot, it's actually fun. Like, I'm not gonna even like. I actually felt a little bad for it because it was like raining out. I'm like, is Moses gonna be okay? Like, you know, like
needs to come in for a break.
Yeah. So the funny part was, Aaron got me this robot lawnmower, and so listen, Aaron is great. She's amazing. I was looking at this present of like, oh man, this thing's going to suck. Like I've always stayed away from the robot lawnmowers because I feel like, you know, it's always one of those things. I feel like it's going to be like indoor robots that I always have to like, you know, take care of because it's always stuck. The maintenance of it is ridiculous, right? So I'm like, this is going to suck. Well, I get this thing and it's super easy to set up. Like you basically control it from your phone via a Bluetooth connection, and then you walk it around the perimeter of your, you know, your lawn. And then you tell it no go zone. So he'd be in like a tree or some landscaping or things like that. You tell it, hey, don't go here, things like that. And I would tell you, so I have a very, very large plot of land. It's like 10 acres, right? And I have it now cutting. It cuts like underneath the trampoline that my kids have. It cuts like all the sides, the front. I'm just going to have it do the back this weekend. It's the first time I'm trying to have it try the back. This thing's amazing. It creates like perfect lines. Like it looks like a professional like lawnmower came to my house because it's like, you know, perfect symmetry of the lines and everything. And it's crazy because like I went to bed the first time I did it, you know, I'm like, go Moses. And I woke up in the morning and my lawn was completely just like cut. I was like, this is amazing. Like what in the hell? So, you know, once it runs out of battery, it just goes back and charges for a little bit. It's like, okay, I'm good. I'm gonna come back and, you know, cut some more, you know, just takes a little bit of breaks, you know, a couple of siestas, comes back and then does its thing. This thing is incredible. So, you know, I've been playing around with that. Literally kicked it off again today, you know, cause I had it going Sunday and Monday of this week. And then, so now I'm cutting it again Friday. So it's fresh for, you know, my fireworks party this weekend. So, and speaking of my fireworks party this weekend has gone to a hell in a handbasket. So it was planned for Saturday, which is now like tornado warnings and nice. 98% chance of rain. So we're actually postponing that for now, trying to figure out what to do. We might move it to Sunday. We're trying to figure out what to do. But the problem is like so just full transparency, I go a little bit crazy with fireworks. And so this year I decided to get an actual pyrotechnics company to come to my house to do a city level type of event. I love the 4th of July. You know, like I love celebrating the country and, you know, the amazing, amazing country that we have here and the folks that are in it. And obviously went to, you know, it was in the military, things like that. So it's a good time for me. And so I got this pyrotechnics company. Well, in order to do it, you have to, this is actually a really funny story. It gets really, really crazy. I don't think I even told you this story. Maybe I have. But so in order to get
for everybody, Dave and I haven't really spoken this week. That's how we know that both of us are having a shit show because there's no comms. So it's like, I understand that he's busy.
Are going back and forth. They're not sending like Instagram thing or something like that.
There's busy stuff going on. So yes, I probably haven't heard this story.
We all recognize. We're like, hey, they're going through a shit show right now. Let's just let it go. You know, good. And then when I surface back up, I'll call you again. But long story short, you know, in order to get a pyrotechnics company, you have to pull a permit and I have to have a fire truck there that literally, you know, can put out the fireworks if something goes wrong. So it's like turned into this like big thing. Well, what they also have to do is when they pull the permit, they have to get approval from the city. And then the city then has to announce it, you know, that there's a private party at, you know, my address. Well, one of Aaron's friends sent her a message saying, is your party for the public? Because I just had someone message me saying they're coming to your party. Or maybe you know this person. She's like, no idea who this person is. And so she sent a text message of a screen saying, you know, oh my God, the Kennedys are amazing. They're throwing a public party for the entire city for this fireworks show. And I'm like, oh my God, like the whole city thinks they're coming to my house. They go to this public fireworks show, which by the way, Aaron's like really private. She hates anything. Like she's very, you know, she likes her privacy and stuff like that. And so she's freaking out. So now I had to hire some off-duty police officers to come to our house to check people in. Like this thing's gotten ridiculous. And now I can't even do it on Saturday, you know? So it's just like this year has not been as anticipated. Again, compounding onto the week that I've already had with everything else. So, but listen, it happens. We have those weeks, right?
Yes, and Moses has been still working hard regardless.
Moses, I can rely on Moses 100%. Moses always brings a smile. I was actually getting out of the gym today, walking, and Moses was, there's these things called channels where, you know, you have your task areas, which is the areas that it mows, and then you have channels that get you from like the task area to another task area, for example, right? And so I'm walking out of the gym, and it's like Moses knew I was coming out and said hi to me. It was like going through a channel to go to the other task area, start cutting. I'm like, hey Moses, what's up, man? You know, wave at it and keep going, you know. So Moses is doing a good job. So
good, glad to hear.
Yeah.
Right. So we need to get straight into it. Push sessions versus pull sessions, which are better? I need to hear your argument at least, because we've always been on
the same page.
Yeah, exactly. So you need to come clean and say that you've changed your mind.
Yes, I have changed my mind. I think that pull days are superior to push days for a few different reasons, okay? One, I feel like, so this is going to sound weird, but you know, push days I feel like is a lot of work, okay? And I'm happy to put the work in, but it's a lot of work. Pull days, I don't really feel like it's that taxing of a workout routine And the pump that you get both on biceps and your back makes you look much larger in general. Now, there's no debating when you got a nice pump on your shoulders and your chest, you know, you got a really nice puffy look, you look much, much larger. However, when you're looking at somebody in general, okay, you're probably going to get a little bit of a pump on the shoulders, just you know, through working out, not as much as obviously dedicating to push day. But, you know, like what I'm looking at is my veins are all popped out. You know, I got this massive bicep pump. My back is all flared out. So you can see like that really big V taper as you're going through. And I feel like it's not that hard of a lift. Like, I feel like I could do pull all day long and not be exhausted. Whereas, you know, like when I do push days, I'm like, I'm just tired afterwards. I've gone through this massive, you know, chest and shoulders and triceps. So technically you're lifting three muscle groups. Whereas, you know, for your pull day, yes, you're working multiple back muscles. So you can count that, I guess, as different, but really you're just doing back and biceps, right? So to me, it's a much simpler lift and the benefits of it. And by the way, I also feel big, you know, lifting these big weights with my back and, you know, like, and I will always say, and here's the main differentiator. Okay. I'll tell you what the main differentiator is. I always have struggled with back definition. Okay. Mm-hmm. My back has been very hard to develop. And now that I actually have, and you can see back muscles, you know, and it's actually pretty well defined. I'm starting to get those wings, you know, the nice V taper when you go into it. The pump with that makes you look amazing. Like, I can sit with my shirt off in front of the gym and I can see, you know, my lats spreading over my back from my front, right? It gives you that, again, that really amazing looking V taper. I don't know if you saw the video I posted with my shirt off, but when I'm doing that low row, you can see where I have definition now on the sides of my body where my lats are. And it's basically folding over the sides of my chest or my back and my into my the front part. So it's just, to me, the development of the back, the pump you get, everything else starts to be, you know, really nice, I think, overall.
So when you can see your back from your front is what you're talking about?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, cool. Sure. All I heard was you like it because it's easier.
I mean, it is easier. I mean, would you agree that a pull session, not I'm not saying full body pull, because if you do full body pull, you know, RDLs and deadlifts, I mean, those are pretty taxing, right? But if you're just doing back and biceps, you know, to me, that is a much easier lift than, let's just say, push or definitely, obviously, legs.
But do you want it to be easier?
It's not an easy lift. Like, I'm exhausted afterwards, but to me, when I'm lifting like back, like let's just say I'm doing a, you know, vertical traction or, you know, lat pull down, right? To me, that is less taxing than, let's just say, a bench press. Okay. So I just think the differences in the muscles and what you're doing, it's a nice, to me, it's more like a break day, if that makes sense. It kind of splits up. Like when I do pull days, I actually got excited yesterday, last night. I was going to bed. I'm like, oh yeah, yes, you know, tomorrow's pull day, I can't wait. So I woke up early, I'm like, yes, you know. And then of course, like, I pissed around for like, you know, an hour at the house, but, you know, eating gushers and everything else. But to me, the days that I really enjoy are pull days and days that I do deadlifts. Like, those are my two favorite days.
Okay. Would I say it's an easier day? I would say yes, it is. Technically less muscle groups, but the size of the muscles on your back are much bigger than the size of the muscles that you're training whenever you're training push. I also think there's maybe a novelty in this, and I guess this is worth speaking about. It's quite difficult to get a good mind-muscle connection with your back. Like, it's something that takes a lot of work, I believe. And I think the main reason for that is the majority of muscles that it's easier to get a mind-muscle connection with, you can see, because you have an understanding of how they work. So like your quad, you can see how it works. So it's like, okay, I understand what's going on here. Can't really get that with your back. So I think potentially what's happening is you're in a phase of your training right now where you have a much better mind-muscle connection with your back. So you're actually enjoying the novelty of actually seeing the progress. And it's not necessarily, and you can tell me to fuck off if you want, it's not necessarily that you are enjoying that session more than push. It's just you're enjoying the progress you're getting from those sessions more than you are your push sessions at the moment.
Yeah, and you know, it's funny you mentioned the mind-muscle connection. I could, if you were to ask me a year ago, like what muscle I was working, yes, I knew the movement itself. I knew the exercise and I knew what it did as part of the different parts of the back. But I wouldn't be able to tell you how that feels, right? You know, and what's different now is I can feel the muscle that I'm taxing very carefully with the motion itself. And also, you know, what I've really been focusing on, if you notice the video that I posted just today, I really focus on, you know, the stretch and the full range of motion as I'm going through. Whereas before, I think I was just throwing the weights up, right? You know, I still think I look awkward on the row, the barbell landmine row. I don't know why. I still look awkward for some reason, but like, I don't know if I have the right form on that, but I know I'm working the right muscles, right? I can feel, you know, which muscle group I'm hitting. I know when I'm hitting my lats versus, you know, the other components. I just, you know, it's a much different feeling now because I've developed that relationship with, you know, my back muscles. And, you know, it's funny because we had mentioned before that the chest is a hard one as well. And when I was doing push yesterday with chest, you know, I could really, like, it's probably one of the most interesting times I had yesterday. I was doing incline Smith machine bench press, and I could feel like every fiber in my chest muscle pushing as I was going through, right? So like the connection now that I have with my muscles works really well. And, you know, I watch these bodybuilders like, you know, Jay Cutler and Ronnie, obviously, and everybody else. And you see how they do it. They can feel everything that they're doing with each muscle group as they're doing it and taxing it out. And today it was interesting when I was doing the lat pull downs. I knew like I had maybe three more in the tank before I hit failure, like true failure. And I was right there. Like, you know, I knew exactly when I was going to fail. And, you know, I'd still keep trying, you know, just keep trying to rock it back, but I could feel when I was failing in those specific areas. So yeah, I think maybe the excitement around that, but also I do feel like the pump you get, you know, with a pull day just makes me feel much larger in nature too.
It might just be my programming this time around as well. Like, not to make myself, but it could be the programming. I will say that I still prefer pull, just for anybody. Or sorry, I still prefer push.
You prefer pull? Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I completely agree with you.
I still prefer push for anybody, just to clarify. But I think I will say that the back is a much more difficult muscle to develop, so I can understand the excitement within that. I just like how I feel after a push session. I like training chest, I like training shoulders, and I like training triceps, and that is it. I will say my training at the minute is fucking weird. So because I'm training more like powerlifter style, like I'm just back in from the gym now. My session was 4 sets of 2 reps pause deadlifts with like 4 to 5 minutes rest in between. So I would do like lift the bar, like maybe, you know, 5 centimeters off the ground, pause for a couple of seconds, and then come right up, do 2 reps, and then that's me good to go at 75% of 1 rep max, and then just like sit and wait for the next one. And then I did barbell bench press, which I know that we've definitely talked at length about as to how much we don't like it. Did a chest supported row, hamstring curl, and then dumbbell shrugs, and then I was done. It's the weirdest fucking training setup ever. But I'm enjoying the process of doing something new and something different. And I'm looking forward to seeing what the progress on those big lifts look like, because it's not something I've ever really, in fact, it's not something I have ever focused on. So training is a little bit different now. But I am enjoying going through the process, but it is definitely, it's just strange. Like even the, you know, like reps in reserve and like RPE8, I'm like, what do you mean? Just like, you mean go to failure? No. Okay. All right. Okay. Don't get it. Don't understand. But it's funny as well, because when we were doing the 1 rep max testing when we were in Portland, because for the past 10 years, I've been focused on tempo and like slow eccentric movement and controlling, I'm still doing that in like bench press. So like, I feel like I'm doing myself a disservice in my bench press, because I'm still doing like 3-second eccentric. Whereas if you see them in powerlifting competitions, it's very much like the momentum, hit the chest and then up with as much force as possible. So I'm like lifting relatively heavy weights, but I'm still fully in control of it. So it's interesting to see like my transition into that, like how I still lift with the same methodology I did before, but just sort of transitioning that into like heavier weights and lower rep sets.
Yeah. One thing I will say about, so that does sound like we're training, by the way.
Like, yes, that's weird. Yeah. I feel like I'm training like Dom. Like I remember him training. He's like, yeah, doing like 8 sets of 2. I'm like, what?
But I mean,
like, you mean 2 sets of 8? And he's like, no, 8 sets of 2. I'm like, I don't understand.
He trains all the time. Like that's, you know, like that's this whole thing is really just going through that. So, but yeah, so for the funny part with the back part, you know, back muscle. So real quick debate on that. Do you consider rear delts part of your back?
I would consider it part of the pull day. Yes.
Yeah. So you do part of pull. Yeah. So yeah. I actually combine it both with pull and push so that I, because typically, I mean, if you're going to really do rear delts, you know, if you think about what most people do, they'll, you know, do like, you know, face pulls or do, you know, the reverse flies, you know, on either a machine or whatever. But you know, most people will only work those just say in a single pull day. Mm-hmm. So you're only getting maybe, let's just say three sets of, you know, 10 in those. So you're only working it out, you know, maybe only doing 30 reps a week typically for each one. So what I like incorporating is, and especially if they're split. So if I have like a full body, you know, day, I'll hit rear delts earlier in the week, like on a Monday or Tuesday, and then I'll hit rear delts again as part of my pull day. So at least I'm getting, you know, multiple, sessions and of stimulating that those rear delt muscles. Now the rear delts don't typically grow, you know, massively large, but they do give you a really nice roundness around your shoulders, as well as obviously, you know, for your back. So I would definitely consider that too. But you know, the funny part is like traps. Yeah, I stopped actually really focusing on traps all the time, and I saw a Sam Sulek video. He's like, I never wore traps, like, ever. Like, I just never have done it. Like, they're big enough. Why do I want to keep, like, blowing that up? But I do think when you look at traps, it gives you that nice big look, mm-hmm. right? But my traps are already proportionate to, you know, everything else I'm doing. And I also hit those very often, obviously, with deadlifts and everything else. You know, obviously, I'm hitting posterior chain as well as, you know, my traps as well. But, you know, it's just one of those things where I think, you know, I don't need to work traps all that much. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree. And I'll just go back to the rear delts. Like, I think it's generally quite an underdeveloped muscle. So hitting that more frequently across the week, like whether it's a push session or a pull session or just any session, getting that in, because it really rounds off your shoulder and like gives it a much larger look overall. So I would agree getting that in, like whether it's push or pull or whatever, because it's something that generally gets forgotten about, because again, it's on your back and nobody really, like, you can't see it in yourself. But yeah, traps is not something, like, even today I did shrugs and I was like, I feel fucking weird. Like, I'm just like this, you know? That's like, I'm just like, I don't know.
You know, it's funny with the high amount of sets and then low rep range is one, you know, like when I'm working out with Dom, right, you know, Dom will be downstairs and let's just say he's doing a deadlift day. He's literally doing one or two, you know, reps, and then he just waits like 5 or 10 minutes, yeah. And then
today I was like, I don't know what to do with this time.
Yeah.
Like, what should I be doing for 5 minutes? Cause I'm just sat there.
And this is how I got to like the 3 hour fucking workout sessions that I was doing all the time. Cause like, I try to do like five sets of like three or four, or two or three or one, you know, if I was doing one rep max.
Yeah.
And I was always just like waiting around, hanging out. And it was kind of nice because like I'd be like, you know, typing on my phone and like chilling, you know, and yeah, it was great. And then I'm like, oh man, 3 hours went by. I need to get moving, you know. So I rushed the rest of my workout. But, you know, I mean, from a strength perspective, those lower rep ranges definitely obviously make sense. It's gonna hit, you know, those fast switch fibers, which is gonna allow you to grow the strength of those. And that's what you're shooting for, right? You're trying to build up your deadlift and try to go for it. You're going to get the most results for that. I'm curious, like, so you're talking about the workout routine before. So you do, let's just say, you know, five sets of two, is it five sets or eight sets? Eight sets of two?
It depends on the day. So Adam has done my program today. It was four sets of two. And then it was three sets of five on bench press.
So you're splitting those. Yep. It makes sense. So his is very similar. So he'll do, you know, bench press after that, you know, like complete separate opposite.
Generally, the way that the training, so it runs in a 2 week rotation. So it is deadlift and bench press, squat and overhead press, deadlift and bench press, and then squat and weighted dips is generally like the big compound movements, and then some accessory work that comes after that.
And is that your entire workout?
Some accessory work that comes after that. So like I'll finish with, like, today was chest supported seated row, dumbbell shrugs and hamstring curl as the accessory work. Okay. And then he did keep one like hypertrophy pump day in at the weekend, just so that I could actually feel like I was myself and not like complete identity crisis in the middle of the week. But yeah, that's generally it. It's like the big focus is on two big compound lifts. And then there's like maybe three or four accessory lifts after that.
Just so we're just so everybody is aware, I just got a Moses just gave me an update that he's continuing to mow. He was taking a break, so Moses is definitely back on the job. So, yeah. So, anyways, I think you know, it's personal preference. Obviously, some people really like the masochists really love leg days. You know, I think that's more beneficial. I mean, leg days are fun. I do like enjoy leg days, but it's just so much work. Like, I feel exhausted afterwards. But I do want to hit on one thing that I have changed in my
diet. You're going to talk about fish oils? Because if you are, I'm leaving.
No, it's not about fish oils. No fish oils this time. I switched to this weight gainer. So I've been struggling with gaining weight on this. Now, it's not a bad thing because I've definitely gone up in strength and I've definitely gotten much leaner. So my cut is going to be substantially easier to get a nice, really nice cut very quickly as I go through. But I would have liked to have been a little bit heavier on the weight just to kind of reap the benefits of that. And it's not because I haven't been eating a lot of calories, but I do feel like I've turned into a calorie burning machine with the addition of
Airsoft for 27 hours a week.
Yeah, Airsoft and everything else. So calories have been an issue. So I started taking the Dynamize weight gainer, which is each serving is like 12 to 1300 calories. It's 250 grams of carbs and 50 grams of protein and like 10 grams of fat or something like that. So it's like,
what size is the scoop of this? Like, what size is it? It's a massive, it has to be like a massive
scooper, and you have to do 2.5 scoops of the scoop. So I would say it's probably 3 times the size of a normal protein scooper.
Okay.
And then you have to do 2.5 scoops of that, right? And then you put it in milk on top of it, which makes it super thick. So I actually do half milk, half water. And that's been pretty good. But I will say, so what's interesting about taking that, so I'm obviously influxing in about 250 grams of carbs early in the morning. Uh-huh. I will tell you that difference of adding that much carbs has made a huge difference on my energy levels for the rest of the day. Like it's completely different. Like I am energetic. I used to have to like, you know, take like a nap halfway through the day or something like that. Just like a 20-minute nap. I used to get like maybe tired or sluggish during certain periods of time, or even at night I get tired and have to take a nap. I'm like a wrecking ball through the rest of the day now. Now that has come with some GI issues, I'm not going to lie. Ben is very well aware of some of the stories in the bathroom here recently. So I think I'm still getting used to it. But I will say my energy level is about stacking in carbs. No, now here's the thing. Like I had one this morning and, you know, I took it. I feel great energy wise. I don't feel tired. I don't feel sluggish. You know, when you do like a really sick workout, you kind of feel like tired afterwards. So I also started adding, dextrose. It's actually not dextrose. It's, Redcon 1 Cluster Bomb is what it's called, is what I got. And it's like easier to digest than dextrose. It's cluster dextrin okay. Is what it's called. And it's even a simpler form that could be used immediately for your muscles. Basically, it's like the rawest form of energy carbohydrates that your body can use from a glucose perspective. And so I've been using that for my intro workout. So I take this is going to sound crazy, but I take Gushers before I go to workout. I take cluster dextrin in my intro workout, and then I do 250 grams of carbs afterwards, and I feel like $1 million. Like I honestly, so like
I'm laughing here because I've pulled it up. And like a regular bin of protein is like 40 servings. It's eight servings in the fucking bin. I'm actually, and I will say this: like I have never been a person to advocate taking mass gainers at all, and the only reason that I say that is I think because when I used to work in the juice bar, I used to have a better understanding of like I could make a shake with the ingredients that I had around me of like whole foods like bananas, oats, chocolate, honey, nut butters, things like that, and I could make it however many calories I want. So I always did that, but I'm gonna order this as an experiment to test it out myself. So
yeah. So it actually tastes really good. It's not like, you know,
chocolate,
like
I'm gonna order it.
Yeah, I had chocolate. Well, I had one from Beast that I had. It was awful. It was like eating like stale whatever. It was bad. This one actually tastes really good. It's not that thick. It mixes actually really well. Like I haven't had any like the clumps or anything. It's gone. And again, my energy levels astronomical. Now, some people were shitting on me on social media like, oh, it has soy lectin in it. You know, you're going to be that's poison to your body. I'm like, listen, man, like a little bit of soy ain't going to kill me. All right. It's actually one of the last labeled ingredients on there. So it's a minimum amount of soy. And so obviously if you're sensitive to soy or things like that, fine. For me, it's not that big of a deal. I mean, I'm just trying to get the damn calories in, folks. You know, like I just want to be big. You know, so if I'm eating a little bit of soy to get bigger for the gains, I'm going to eat a little bit of soy for the
gains. Well, the thing about it is, and I'm going to call you straight out on this, you didn't do your fucking check-in this week, and we were due to change to a deficit this week. So are you busy, or do you just not want to fucking change the deficit?
Dude, you know the hell week I've had.
Well, no, I think it's all made up.
No,
I think you've orchestrated the whole thing. No, you've orchestrated the whole thing.
We said we were going to a deficit in July, okay? I still got some time here, all right? So I'm thinking next week we start on the deficit, right?
Yeah. Yes, I do have it here. Yeah, you're correct. But you're meant to be in maintenance week last week and this week.
We said we're going to skip maintenance. You told me we're skipping maintenance because we're in a good spot.
I don't know. Doesn't sound like me.
Okay.
Doesn't sound like me. When you do them, when you submit them.
I missed 1 week. And I'm really good with them.
Yes, you have. Yes, yeah. Whatever, fine. Yeah. Right, I think we need to address the elephant in the room.
All right. This is our last podcast for a little bit.
Dave and I are taking a break. So we've done, this is episode 149. So after this goes out, I will release one more, which will be episode 150, which will be a client takeover podcast that was recorded in Orlando. And then we're going to take 5 or 6 weeks off. The reason being is, well, I guess full transparency in how this came into my head was I was looking at the stats of listens and downloads, and they've started to deteriorate slightly. So I'm going to take action on that and change the format of what we're doing, come with a little bit more plan, and just relaunch the podcast. Now, as you've all heard us talk about for the past what seems like a year and a half about the supplements company, there are lots of things that are going to change. So we're going to get a brand new website. We're going to get a brand new design, brand new brand, everything is changing. So we thought we would use this opportunity to change the podcast as well. And then we will relaunch it at the start of August. The plan is to relaunch it at the start of August. And I'm not going to say any more than that. So that will be it from us for a few weeks. Now I will say you can still hear from Hacking Your Health because the Digital Interactions podcasts will still go live on a Thursday. So we're not totally disappearing. But Dave and I haven't suggested this to you yet, but what we're going to do is every week when we usually record the podcast, we're just going to have a meeting about the podcast and we're going to talk about how we're going to make it better for future us.
Yep.
So we're going to do that just to give you guys more quality information, to give you guys more specifics. And actually one thing that came into my head was I want to start talking a little bit about what other people are talking about. And what I mean by that is I was watching I may as well just tell you. So I was watching something I read last night on Instagram, and the guy Brian Johnson, who's trying to live to 200 years old or whatever it is, I'm like, stuff like that, I believe we should be talking about, like what our opinions are on that and what he's doing. I think like stuff like that will be valuable rather than just talking about what's going on with us and what's going on with me and We Hack Health and the clients. Like, start talking about other stuff that's going on. So the next 5 or 6 weeks, Dave and I are going to sit and work out what the following 6 months look like in terms of podcasts. So if you don't see us posting podcasts, it's because we're not recording them.
That's right. And I think, you know, the big thing with us is, you know, we are continuously trying to get better at what we do here, right?
We've done 150 weeks.
Yes.
Not missed a week.
Yeah.
That's insane. I sort of think about that, we should take it to, maybe we'll be able to relaunch it on the anniversary, which will be the 3rd year anniversary. I'll look at that. We can sort that out. I'll work out when that was. Yeah.
So just a little bit of a break. It's going to be for a few weeks, you know, while we get all of this kind of, you know, figured out, you know, probably new intros, shorter intros, things like that, how we're going to structure the podcast. You know, we guys obviously want feedback from you folks as well, what we can do. So a little bit of a break, a little bit of hiatus, get caught up, get planned for, you know, Black Hat and DEF CON, obviously big events there. And then from there, kind of look at what we're doing. But this is just a little pause for a little bit so that we can, you know, kind of regroup and figure it out. We
just want to be better.
That's right. Always want to be better.
And hopefully in 6 weeks time, if I drink enough of this mask gainer, I'll be fucking huge whenever we come back.
I would tell you, like, it's crazy how, you know, it's obviously apparent that when I push myself in the gym, you know, I'm hitting my muscle groups to failure. I was actually watching a Nippert video where he's actually doing something really interesting. He was talking about how steroids are awesome. And Jeff Nippert is a natural bodybuilder. He's very methodical body. He gets blood work tests done, things like that. He is a natural bodybuilder. I believe him 100%. He's got an amazing physique. And his big thing was, can I still gain muscle, or have I hit my peak at my age being a natural bodybuilder? So he's doing this like really intense year long lifting where, you know, he's focusing very heavily on doing everything the perfectly right way, you know, his macros, you know, and he's doing DEXA scans across the board to get measured as he's going and doing it. And so he's going to, you know, at the end of the year, he's going to show the results, but he's already getting like a preliminary of he's still continuing to gain muscle, being natural, albeit, you know, a much slower pace. And so, you know, one of the things that he said to me or said that that kind of resonated in my mind, he's like, you know, I'm also making sure that my last sets are to, you know, complete failure. Right. And I think that's so important. Like when I work out, I work out my muscle groups to failure. Like I just go until I can't go anymore. And then I do a few more after that, you know, and even if I can't do the full rep, you know, I'm still trying to just tug and pull. If it's lat pull downs, I'm just, you know, I'm barely making a little bit more. I'm just trying to get that last amount of oomph from the muscle itself. And, you know, that depletes your glycogen stores in your muscles, which means that you're completely depleted. You're in a depleted state when you get done, right? So your muscles now have to recuperate those and pull either through available carbohydrates in your body or convert fat to energy, you know, whatever, you know, it can do to recoup those. But if it doesn't have an immediate source of glycogen to, you know, shoot back into those muscles, they're going to be depleted for a long period of time, meaning that you're going to be physically exhausted, right? And so, you know, what I'm realizing is that having an ample store of carbohydrates pre-workout, intra-workout, and post-workout, my energy levels are at a completely different type of level. Like, I just feel like, you know, I don't dip in energy levels anymore. I feel cognitively, like, I would even say, like, you ever done like a really insane lift you don't eat afterwards or something? You knocking?
No. Harper's knocking on the door.
Ah, okay. Who's in? Who's there? I feel like, you know, if you've ever done like a really crazy lift with like legs or whatever, and you don't get time to eat afterwards, you're mentally and physically exhausted, right? It takes a complete toll on your body. So with this, and especially with the gainer, you know, 1,200 pounds is a big deal to me. I think overall, it's one of those things that, you know, I will probably incorporate either. And if I'm, you know, on a deficit, maybe I only do half the servings of that, right? You know, so I get, you know, 600 calories in, and then, you know, that's my meal for maybe that's my breakfast and lunch. And then from there, I eat, you know, another protein centric snack. And then from there, you know, I have a nice dinner. I'd be around the 2,500 calories, 3,000 calorie mark. I'm sure I can incorporate that into there as well, just to meet the calorie mark itself. So.
Yeah, I think with the calories, especially with the trying to get it in on the from whole foods, it's a lot of food. But trying to prioritize carbohydrates around your workout as much as possible, for sure. And even I said this, like, even with the, whenever I'm in a deficit, like, I'll always maintain trying to keep my pre-workout oats in as much as possible. And they'll take up a high percentage of my calories because I know the importance of having those in pre-training. Because once that starts to go, and I've been in the position before where I've taken them out and my sessions aren't as good, and that's for me when the deficit starts to really suck, because you're not getting as good workouts and there's a level of frustration that comes on the other side of that. So for me, prioritizing that specifically pre-training and then post-training is essential regardless of where you're at in your journey.
Yep. And it's cool, like, the, you know, like the addition of this, right? I'm always trying to figure out ways of getting better, right? And trying to figure out ways of optimizing my health, my nutrition, my energy levels. And, you know, a lot of folks really swear by, hey, you know, I'm gonna do high fats and proteins, or just, you know, a balance between carbohydrates and fats, you know, and there is some, there's definitely need for fats, especially when it comes to, like, you know, testosterone. You know, cholesterol is actually an important, you know, component of that, right? Cholesterol is almost anabolic in many cases. So, you know, you look at the things that we do need for our bodies, you don't need copious amounts of fat though, right? And, you know, yes, you need to worry about insulin levels. So if you look at longevity case studies, you know, insulin sensitivity is a major thing. So, the more insulin sensitive you are, you know, the longer lifespan you typically have, right? So keeping your insulin check within check, your glucose levels within check, all major important things. Now, I'm curious to see with my CGM what my levels look like when I actually go in and eat this. Because, you know, when I spike glucose, I can often tell. Like, I'll get a little bit sweaty, you know, I feel the race of the sugars and everything kind of rushing through, and the insulin, you know, hitting and pulling the sugars out. I can actually feel that when it happens. I haven't felt that at all with the weight gainer. So I just, it's more of a constant, you know, energy as I'm going through and start to pull it. So we'll see how it goes. But I think, you know, overall, pretty good experiment for this one that we're always trying to get better on.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to like me glitching out on the floor of the office here after having a 1200 calorie shake and 250 grams of carbs.
That's the other thing too. Like I don't, you know, like you would think eating 1200 calories, you'd have this like gut bomb, right? Mm-hmm. And it doesn't feel that way at all. Like, I mean, I'm full, but I'm not like gut bomb full. Like I'm just like, oh, like it's hard to drink. Like it's very easy to drink. It's very easy to get down. And, you know, yes, I've had some GI stuff, but it's more so, I think, just because I'm getting used to the ample amounts of calories that are coming through with the 250 grams of carbs, right? So, you know,
if you have a meal that's 1200 or 1300 calories, yeah, it's a lot of fucking food. So it still needs to go through that digestion process. So same sort of thing.
100%. So we'll see how it goes. But obviously a lot of exciting news here. But you know, again, you know, we appreciate, one thing I want to emphasize before we kind of close this out though, is I do want to say, I appreciate, all of our listeners, you know, through all of these episodes, how long we've been doing this for. It's always awesome to hear. Like, it's funny, 'cause like, you know, you come up to somebody that you meet for the first time and they're like, oh my God, I listen to your podcast, and they know more about you. You're like, oh man, it's kind of weird. Like, I barely know you, man. You know, and you know everything about me. You know, but it's cool to have such a great, you know, community listening and following, for everything we're doing here. And, you know, so we appreciate that, and, you know, appreciate the hiatus, and, you know, definitely want you to tune back in when we get back for the new format. But, you know, this break here, I think, is going to let us level set, get some good stuff coming in for everybody, and to be able to really, you know, kind of push this podcast to the next level. I mean, we have so many things moving right now with the supplements, you know, with Ben, what Ben's doing with onboarding new customers, you know, the branding around the new supplements and hacking your health. I landed the hacking your health domain finally. So hackingyourhealth.com. You know, all of these things are all landing at the same time. I don't know, I got to get with you. I got to change the domain over. But anyway,
just said, before this goes out, you need to do that because everybody's going to go on to it.
But again, all great stuff happening here, great community. And I just wanted to thank all of our listeners for everything that you do every day.
Yes. And I will be sure that we will keep you posted on when we're coming back.
Absolutely.
I kept going to say see you next week, but I'll not. See you.
Few weeks.
See you soon.
See you soon.